Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, September 8th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today released a blueprint on how her government would run Zimbabwe, signaling she may be getting ready to challenge President Robert Mugabe in the 2018 elections.
There are many people who called to say, please, don't forget us. You know we are together. We are on fire here. You can't say anything either against or even to make some criticism.
Many pupils failed to return to school today as parents struggle to raise fees in the face of mounting hardships.
The rand now is the rate between rand and dollar, US dollar, hey, so much, because I'm working in South Africa. So to change the rand to US dollar, hey, it was very, very hard for me. I have to stop everything so that I can pay that school.
And barely 2 weeks after visiting Zimbabwe, Nigerian businessman Aliko Dangote sends a team of technocrats to seal deals in Harare.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today signaled she may be getting ready to challenge her former boss, President Robert Mugabe, who threw her out of the ruling party, the ZANU-PF party, in December for allegedly planning to overthrow him. The former ZANU-PF guru, who's yet to form a political party, denied the allegations. Sandra Nyaira has more.
A former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today signaled a possible run against her former boss, President Robert Mugabe, through a two-page document titled Blueprint to Unlock Investment and Leverage for Development Build that she released to newspapers. Mrs. Mujuru introduced her proposal by explaining that her and her unnamed team have been hard at work, and I wish to share with you in brief how we propose to translate our vision for a better Zimbabwe into reality. The former vice president spelled out her vision, mission, and strategy for a better Zimbabwe. The former vice president did not explain the vehicle through which build would be implemented, as the manifesto made no mention of her intention to run as president or to form a party under which she would contest. While she does not say who the we is in the document is replete with mentions of People First, a suggested name for a political party Zimbabweans are expecting her to launch ahead of the 2018 elections. Mrs. Mujuru, 60, says she will repeal laws such as the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act that bar foreign journalists from operating permanently in the country and has blocked the establishment of private television stations, while radio licenses have been issued to people with ZANU-PF links. Also on her list is the country's controversial indigenization laws that she says would be amended drastically, along with other laws that restrict the people's movement. Also on her bucket list is the country's controversial indigenization laws that she says would be amended drastically, along with other laws that restrict the people's freedoms. A wholesome review of the Indigenization Act will be effected, she says. We shall emphasize economic empowerment that attracts investment and promotes the broad-based socio-economic infrastructure development objectives. We shall enforce, promote, and respect property rights and address historical compulsory acquisition through fair and transparent compensation, says Mrs. Mujuru. She also said her government would provide title for land. Currently, all land in the country belongs to the state. Reporting from Washington, D.C., this is Sandra Nyaira.
Still on the same issue, Blessing Zulu spoke with Rugare Gumbo, Mrs. Mujuru's ally, who confirms she is indeed the author of the blueprint.
Absolutely. There are many of them, especially this was revealed today after we issued our document. There are many people who call to say, please, don't forget us. You know, we are together. We are on fire here. You can't say anything either against or even to make some criticism and go scot-free. Once you say something that would appear to be negative, you are told you don't belong to ZANU-PF. So there are many people, really. Some are sending us messages, different kind of messages, telling us what is happening in ZANU-PF, the contradictions that are there. So they are just waiting for us to launch. Once we launch, there will be many people who cross the floor.
That was Mujuru Ally Rugare Gumbo speaking with Blessing Zulu.
For analysis, we reached independent commentator Nhlanhla Dube, who says it's not surprising that Mujuru looks like she's going to throw her hat into the ring and run for president.
Well, two things to consider, Chris. Quickly, firstly, the first thing to consider is that what she has done is nothing new. She obviously wanted to wrestle power from President Mugabe, from within ZANU-PF. She failed to do that. They were discovered. They were kicked out of ZANU-PF, as we all know. So that is part of history that we all know. But they didn't stop there. So obviously, their view about how Zimbabwe should be run, how Zimbabwe should be structured, is now continuing outside the confines of ZANU-PF as we know it.
What do you think is the way forward when we look at what has happened so far?
We know that she started by separating herself from ZANU-PF by issuing that statement, you remember, where she apologized to Zimbabwe for having been part of this government that has created all sorts of negative growth in society, in all sectors of society. Therefore, she was then putting herself at the mercy of Zimbabwe and saying, look, I'm here, yes, I know I've done things that are wrong, but I'm willing to apologize. Those that are still in ZANU-PF are not willing to apologize. So, and she has continued to create an image, a brand, which is brand in jewelry, if I can call it that, which shows a different ZANU-PF personality to the ZANU-PF that is still headed by President Mugabe.
And that was independent political analyst Nhlanhla Dube. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
And our correspondent Ivan Chifera went onto the streets of Harare and spoke with Lindiwe Banda, Mlondolozi Dube, Derek Muyambo, Marvelous Kavia, and Lucky Aaron for their take on Mrs. Mujuru's blueprint and what this is what they had to say.
In my own view, Mujuru has been silent for a very long time, and there's been a long speculation of a next political move. And I think coming out with this manifesto is a good thing, because there is no more speculation on what she's going to do. But my main issue with her manifesto is that she's talking about a lot of loopholes within Mugabe's policies. Now, why didn't she speak about these issues when she was in power? I think it's just sour grapes, and it doesn't hold water for me.
I think my Mujuru has got a lot of chances of winning the 2018 elections, but the 2018 elections is going to be a trick encounter. If Robert Mugabe is alive by 2018, it's going to be very tricky for her to make it, considering that she's already a political brand. But in the absence of Robert Mugabe, we'll be having Emmerson Mnangagwa and Morgan Tsvangirai as the two contesting candidates. And from the way that I see it, we cannot talk of Mnangagwa in any election, even as a councillor, he cannot win the elections. And as for Morgan Tsvangirai, he's a spent force. Then for my Mujuru, now bringing a neoliberal perspective from the issues that she has addressed in her manifesto, I think she stands a chance to win. That is if Mugabe is not there. Then the other perspective that we must look at Mujuru maybe having a coalition with Morgan Tsvangirai that can be powerful. That is if Mugabe is alive. If Mugabe is alive, if she aligns with Tsvangirai, then she can make it.
First of all, this is a welcome because of the circumstances that led to expulsion. I think that was a very good stance, though she delayed a bit. She was supposed to have done that before but now one of the challenges that she may face, if you go through the manifesto, you will find that there are some clauses where she says she wants to correct the problem. But where was she for them? past the 35 years. She was part of the system, part of the rotten system, which I feel that can be one challenge. But now it depends. Politics, it's a game. It depends how she's going to express herself to the public. But I think the best idea is she has to announce a press conference so that she makes it clear to the people. Because previously there were some documents in the press that she did not justify, that she was the one who had scribed those documents. So it could be also another area. Maybe some people are just putting pressure on her. She has to come out. This is, I think, if she is a brave person in politics, she has to come out.
I think there's something about it, because she just can't come out of the blue with a statement without even showcasing something or saying something. Just from the dismissal, then just today she comes up with a manifesto in the press. So to me, I think there's something behind it. I'm sure she has to unveil to us so that we know exactly what's the position. Otherwise, without anything, we might even think that it's a lie. So we cannot support her, or we can support her. So she should just come in the open.
As I post on my Facebook page, I think it's just new words, but same thing which Zanzibar is doing. So there's nothing new which she's bringing to the country. She's just recycling words to make a new manifesto.
Those were views from Lindiwe Banda, Mlondolozi Ndlovu, Derek Muyambo, Marvelous Kavia, and Lucky Aaron commenting on Mrs. Mujuru's blueprint.
Current job losses and economic hardships being experienced countrywide are believed to have forced many pupils to stay at home on the opening day of the third term as parents struggled to raise fees. This, according to the president of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Obed Masaraure. Masaraure tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they are worried that many students may drop out of school when they are expected to write their final examinations this term.
Some schools have reported 10 out of around 80%. Some believe that as what was around 65%. Most pupils failed to turn up for school on the first day. And then also there has been a cloud of uncertainty hovering around most schools, given the fact that the teaching staff in different schools who had been informed that the members of the Public Service Commission were going to revisit their schools for another round of head count to ascertain whether they were real teachers and maybe try to flush out some ghosts with that. But the message now is, it is now cascading to the teaching staff. It is now appearing as if some sort of persecution going on against maybe the teaching community.
Were you informed about this, or it was just speculation from your members?
We were informed. For myself, I'm a teacher at Semanga High School. I received a message on Saturday when I was informed that message had been relayed to the headmaster, that we were all supposed to be at the station on Tuesday because there would be a head count that would cover both the teaching staff and the students.
That was Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe President Obed Masaraure in Wedza speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Meanwhile, Masaraure, a teacher at Chemanza Secondary School in Wedza, Mashonaland East, says officials from the Public Service Commission who are taking a head count of teachers and students did not visit most rural schools as previously announced.
And still on the same issue, Tatenda Gumbo spoke with South African-based parent who only wanted to be identified as Mr. Fore. He says although he managed to pay school fees for his two daughters in Zimbabwe, it was a struggle because of the South African rand's falling currency.
Managed to pay for both of them today.
How much are you paying?
I'm paying $65 each, $210 for both of them.
And looking at this term, was it complicated for you to get this money?
It was complicated because the rand now is the rate. between rand and dollar, US dollar, hey, it's too much because I'm working in South Africa. So to change rand to US dollar, hey, it was very, very hard for me. I have to stop everything so that I can pay that school fee.
And how much are you paying for books also and even uniforms?
Hey, if you talk of that one now, hey, it's very hard because you have to buy some books for them. So, hey, I don't know when I'm going to do it. Maybe end of the month. Well, for now, it's too hard for me to do it. Well, their school, they can't afford to supply them with the books.
And what will your daughters do until they have these books? How will they be learning?
They have got some, those previous ones maybe, but they have torn. So we have to... I have to make a plan to buy some new books.
That was Mr. Fore, who's based in Johannesburg, South Africa, speaking with Tatenda Gumbo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
businessman Nigel Chanakira unpacks the Dangote deals.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Vatican says Pope Francis will unveil new procedures today aimed at streamlining the Roman Catholic Church's costly and complicated process of annulling marriages.
North and South Korea have agreed to resume the reunion of families separated for more than 60 years by the Korean War.
And Britain's defense minister today said the military would consider more airstrikes against militants in Syria if they meant stopping likely terror attacks against British interests.
The state-controlled Herald newspaper reports that barely 2 weeks after he came to Zimbabwe and met with President Robert Mugabe and his deputies over his business interests in Zimbabwe, Nigerian businessman Aliko Dangote has sent to Harare his technocrats to seal deals. The six-member team is said to have arrived in the country yesterday and was holding meetings with senior government officers who include Deputy Chief Secretary to the President and Cabinet, Justin Mupamanga.
And officials' reports say the team, which includes Dangote Corporate Strategy Specialist Rumbidza Isitole, a Zimbabwean, was expected to meet representatives today from various State Department leaders. Blessing Zulu spoke with Nigel Chanakira, the chairman of the Zimbabwe Investment Authority, who unpacks the process to implement the Dangote deals.
The team from Dangote, the Dangote camp, arrived yesterday and immediately they went into meeting with the ZIA along with other government ministries and departments who are responsible for hosting any new investor that has come to Zimbabwe. The meetings proceeded very well. As far as we are concerned, the registrar of companies have already reserved the name Dangote for them without a problem. There were no complications there, and that was established. Further on, now as the Dangote team working with their local lawyers for the submission of their memos and articles to suit their requirements. Once that is done, they'll then be registered with ZIMRA for tax purposes and then with NASA for employment purposes in terms of contributions of their prospective employees, and then also with ZIMDEF for the working of training in terms of local people. As far as we are concerned, the only issues that will take time are the obtaining of mining concessions and rights. Obviously, these are issued by the Ministry of Mines and Mining Development, where they exist. And if there are any existing claims which they would like, those can always be issued by the relevant minister in consultation, because this is an energy resource. This would need presidential assent. As you know, Dangote did meet with the presidium, and so this shouldn't take time. The Mining Affairs Board should also sit and consider those coal deposits and claims, and if so, give the necessary approvals.
What is the next step?
The next stage is the environmental assessment impact reports in terms of whether the mining or the cement production or manufacturing or the coal rights, mining rights, how those will actually impact the environment. That normally takes about 60 to 90 days. And so once that is cleared, or even prior to its clearance, VIA will issue an investment license. And we have said in this instance, we could normally take 2 days. In this case, my team is ready and will issue that license in 1 day.
How significant is this investment?
The Dangote Group on its own is actually wanting to invest a minimum of $1 billion, which would be the single largest group to make investments in three areas. That is in mining, in cement production, and then in power production. So those three areas are what we would call priority areas for Zimbabwe, because obviously we lack power. We have a shortage of power at present. We also see that the cement plant could possibly complement the three operations that we already have in Zimbabwe who are producing cement. And an additional production line, which is likely to be the biggest, will allow for economies of scale to be realized, which in turn should also lower the price of cement. And this has a trickle-down effect in terms of allowing more construction of houses, bridges perhaps. So obviously this will mean more jobs and lower prices for cement, all which are welcome.
Chairman Nigel Chanakira of the Zimbabwe Investment Authority on the line from Harare with Blessing Zulu.
The vetting of pensioners, which is part of the government's civil service audit that has just got underway, continued today with some pensioners in Bulawayo raising concern that they have not been given enough information about the exercise. Taurai Shaba reports from Bulawayo.
Scores of pensioners converged early today at Milton Junior Primary School, the venue of the vetting of retirees or beneficiaries of state pensions in the Bulawayo Metropolitan Province. Some of the pensioners who spoke to Studio 7 said they did not have enough information about the exercise. Most said they got information about the exercise from third parties and did not know what was required of them or the documents they are expected to present. A woman who asked not to be identified but said she retired from the civil service on medical grounds suggested that more people should be deployed to complete the exercise quickly, as most pensioners are old and incapable of standing in queues for long periods.
Actually, I really don't know what is really happening. I just heard by someone that say there are people who are exercise whereby the people are being vetted, the pensioners. So I had to come, but I didn't know any information about it. Even in the radio, I didn't hear anything. Even on TV, I didn't hear anything. I'm just here just to find out what is happening. We need manpower so that the exercise will be carried in a transparent manner.
Another senior citizen, Omen Mavingire, though worried about the lack of information about the program, believes it will help to weed out imposters who are reaping where they did not sow.
The corruption that was prevailing is going to expire. The reason other people have been getting the monies, which were not due to them. Now with this assessment, it's going to be at least clear to those who deserve half salaries, they are going to deserve it. But those who are going to have full salaries, they are going to deserve it.
Studio 7 was not able to hear from the Minister of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare, but the government recently announced the civil service would be audited to flush out the so-called ghost workers. Researcher Butler Tambo of the Public Research Institute of Zimbabwe says the audit is welcome. but pointing to another audit that was carried out in 2013 and unearthed about 30,000 ghost workers, Tambo says the exercise would only be beneficial if the government takes action and punishes those caught with their hands in the till.
The exercise, I believe, is a noble exercise, but I think let it not end as an exercise where we are given large numbers of people who are earning, but without any remedy being taken, because we can waste more money doing audits, but with the perpetrators not being arrested. Let us arrest the perpetrators so that it sends a clear message out there, whether to the international community, to international financial institutions who might be willing to lend to this country, that this country is not willing to entertain corruption, but will deal thoroughly and mercilessly with any corrupt individuals.
The government, which spends over 80% of its revenue on salaries for the civil service, is struggling to raise the money as the country's economy remains in intensive care. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
And in sports news, the Zimbabwe football family is hopeful the Warriors will qualify for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations, despite stuttering to a 1-1 draw at home against Guinea. Our reporter Michael Cariati tells us more.
From the young to the old and the Warriors themselves, the Zimbabwe football family is optimistic the Warriors will make the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations journey, despite dropping two valuable points at home on Sunday. Coach Callisto Pasua has strong belief in his team, but says there is need for more time in camp if the Warriors are to realize their dream.
We need to prepare as much. We're having 4 days of preparing in order for these guys to have those combinations coming.
Even striker Cuthbert Malajila, who plays in South Africa for Mamelodi Sundowns, adds that there is need for more time for the players in camp. He says players have no control over when they should be in camp.
But as I said, we need preparations. We see we have limited time, but there's nothing we can do.
Czech Republic-based Costa Namoinesu of Sparta Prague says the race for a place at the Nations Cup final is still on, adding that his dream is to see Zimbabwe qualify after missing out of the past 5 editions.
The goal is to try and qualify for the AFCON. This is the goal, and the race is still on. We managed to get 1 point, so the race is still on.
Football fan Emmanuel Gambare says apart from the short preparation time, there is also need for a few adjustments in the manner in which the Warriors play.
We need to make some amendments, especially our left wing, a creative midfielder.
The Warriors still have 4 matches to play in the qualifiers. They'll play back-to-back matches against Swaziland before traveling to Guinea for the return match. They'll round off their campaign with a home game against Malawi. All the games will be played next year. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Still in sports, the Zimbabwe Rugby Union has been selected by World Rugby to host the 2016 Under-20 Junior Rugby Tournament next year in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe is excited. Zimbabwe has been honored by World Rugby, been awarded the right to host the World Rugby Under-20 Trophy in 2016. That starts on the 15th of April in 2016 to the 1st of May 2016.
Mr. Chivandire, looking at the state of Zimbabwe's economy at the moment, do you think your organization will be able to top what you saw happening in some of the past hosts of this tournament?
It is a huge challenge. I think the 2016 edition was in Portugal, in Lisbon, and I know I've been to these tournaments before. It is a huge challenge, but a challenge that Zimbabwe cannot really pick on. We as Zimbabwe Rugby Union are hosting this on behalf of World Rugby, and we are going to get a lot of support financially and from a human resources point of view and skill transfer from World Rugby.
That was Zimbabwe Rugby Union National Technical Director Brighton Chivandire in Harare.
Now a quick recap of today's top stories.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today released a blueprint on how her government would run Zimbabwe, signaling she may be getting ready to challenge President Robert Mugabe in the 2018 elections.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions on the Youth Connection about schools opening. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.